Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
One of the weird things about U.S. history is that we have strange names for wars. We call the Civil War the Civil War, which is a weird name if you think about it, for any sort of war, especially one that bellicose and bloody. Here's a fact you may not know about the Civil War. There are over 400 solidly documented cases of women disguising themselves as men and fighting as soldiers on both sides of the conflict, the Union and the Confederacy. Welcome to Ridiculous History. My name is Ben.
My name is Noel. And Ben, I'm just going to go ahead and get this out of the way, get it out of my system right up front. Sort of like Mulan.
You're getting something out of your system like Mulan?
No. This case of like the women dressing up
like men.
They could fight in the war, kind of like Mulan, which is about to have a live action adaptation coming out.
I saw the teaser
in theaters.
I'm quite excited.
This episode is not brought to you by the Disney Corporation. No, but it's an interesting distinction, Ben, because a lot of folks, women, dressed up in men's clothing and passed as men in order to either escape a harsh life and get the relatively stable life of a soldier, which gave you 3 square meals a day, roof over your head, etc. I mean, of course, you know, you had to put your life on the line, but for some folks, that might have been preferable to the conditions they were living in before that. This story that we're talking about today is a little different because the individual that's at the center of this story is someone who continued to go on living as a man after the war was over.
That's correct. And we want to be very clear here. Science shows that gender, as it is commonly understood, is largely a social construct. And we wanted to share with you today the story of Albert Cashier, who fought for the Union in the U.S. Civil War and was a trans man. Before we continue, I can't believe we got this far in the episode without shouting out our super producer, Casey Pegram. Now, Casey, you're not what people would describe as a Civil War buff, especially. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm not really too heavily invested in that.
What was that 4-hour Civil War film?
The Civil War?
Gettysburg?
Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Wasn't there one that...
That's a Ken Burns.
It's Ken Burns.
Probably 10 or 12 hours.
Okay, I was thinking of a high hour count Civil War documentary. I love how Ken Burns' documentaries are so like authoritative. They're just like jazz, baseball, the Civil War.
I want him to go a little more afield sometimes. You know, I wish he just did very, very specific things, you know, like mascots.
That'd be good. I'll tell you what is very, very specific about Ken Burns is his haircut. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a very interesting twist on the bowl cut.
I mean, he's living his life.
He is living his life. And I'll tell you who else was living their lives is Albert Cashier, who was born on December 25th, 1843, in a fantastically named Cloggerhead County. Maybe it's Clofferhead? There's a GH sound. What do you think, Ben?
We learned our lesson about Gaelic. Let's just spell it. C-L-O-G-H-E-R, head.
I'm going to go with Cloverhead. That's what I'm going to shoot for.
Go for it.
And that is in the county of Louth. Louth?
Louth. I would hazard it is Louth.
You would hazard it as Louth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Forvo has to say about this.
Louth. Louth.
Louth?
Louth.
The robot voice has spoken. Louth is what we shall go with today for the purposes of this story. So yeah, county of Louth, Ireland. And the interesting thing, or the, I guess, galling thing about the story is that there isn't that much that we know about this person's life. And the things that we do know come from a recorded account when Cashier was going through the throes of dementia back in 1913. But we are going to do our best to piece together what we do know about this fascinating individual and their bravery and their life.
Right. So the account comes when Cashier is 70 years old and suffering from a bit of mental deterioration with age. Here's what we know. So Cashier was born in Ireland, as you said, in 1843, immigrated to Illinois at a very young age, sometime in childhood, but exactly when is not clear.
As a stowaway on a ship, to England, London, and then carried on to New York City.
Mm-hmm. And from his teenage years, Cashier was living as a man. And he did so until his death at age 71. So the account we have comes 1 year before he passes away. And his story is remembered because of his service in the Civil War. Cashier is one of many, many people who were living their lives in a way that was largely unacknowledged by the public, by the communities through which they moved. And that's a problem that continues today throughout the world, throughout the species. But in Cashier's case, Uncle Sam itself confirmed, or affirmed would be a better word, this male identity. We know that at some point after immigrating, Cashier was given men's clothing by an uncle or stepfather, with the idea being that, you know, hey, kid, wear this and you can get a job at this shoe factory. And that's where Albert adopts the name Albert Cashier.
It's interesting, too, that there is this idea of cooperation from a member of the patriarchy that would potentially have had a problem with this and caused a lot of difficulties for this young person at the time. But the account that we have is that the uncle or stepfather was in fact cooperative and helpful and helped Albert mask his assigned gender identity and secure work at a shoe factory. And that's when he took on the name Albert Cashier so that he could work, and he lived by himself and he kept to himself. And this is something that he would continue doing once he enlisted in the Union Army in 1862. He would shower on his own. He would change into his, from his uniform on his own. And that wasn't seen as being particularly strange, right? Like, that was pretty common, according to some of the records that we've seen, for other soldiers to do that. It wasn't like a big boys club kind of locker room situation.
Right, right. And for the record, 1862, that makes Albert 19 when joining the Union. So here's what we know for certain. On August 6th, 1862, 19-year-old Albert Cashier was a resident of Belvidere, Illinois, and enlisted in the 95th Illinois Infantry. Like you mentioned earlier, Noel, Albert was known to keep mostly to himself, and the only thing people really called out about or busted chops about with him was that he was the shortest person in the squad. But he passed the medical exam,
which only consisted of looking at like things like teeth and I guess arches, make sure he didn't have any bone spurs or anything, I guess, and the ability to wield a rifle. Those are the things that there was no looking at private bits.
Right, right. Cashier was also known for being the silent type, not super extroverted, but being very, very brave in the field of battle. We also found that correspondences from the time suggest Cashier had a significant other during the war, and like many other soldiers on both the Union and Confederate sides of that conflict, Cashier wrote to this significant other.
That was the Morey family. Mm-hmm. He kept in contact with in Babcock's Grove, Illinois. Cashier's regiment participated in over 40 engagements, battles in the war. They were part of the Army of the Tennessee, and that included the Siege of Vicksburg, the Red River Campaign, battles in Kennesaw Mountain in Jonesboro, Georgia, very near where we are here in Atlanta, and also the Battle of Nashville. And he survived. In fact, he also, there's a story that isn't very detailed, but he supposedly was captured at one point, and he more or less just was a badass and like knocked over his captor and ran on foot all the way back to his camp and escaped. And all the while avoiding being detected. He was even treated for diarrhea once and was able to kind of like wiggle his way out of getting inspected in any kind of way that would have given away his secret. And that capture was in 1863 during the Siege of Vicksburg.
Mm-hmm. In May. So Cashier serves a 3-year enlistment with his regiment, the 95th, until they are mustered out, honorably discharged on August 16th of 1865. To put in perspective how amazing it is for anyone to survive this sort of conflict, out of the 95th regiment, 289 soldiers died. Due to death on battlefield or due to disease? Because I thought it was interesting that you mentioned the idea of joining a military to get 3 square meals a day. That is the case now, right? In the U.S. military, in most Western militaries, you will be fed. You will have a place to sleep. It may not be ideal, but you will have those things. This was not always the case in the Union and Confederate armies. People were fighting for ideological reasons, at least the people on the ground. And Albert's reputation continues. Well after the war, his brothers in arms remember this guy that they thought was, you know, kind of short, but so brave. He was plucky, you know, and he undertook dangerous assignments. He was admired for his heroic actions, his bravery, and he was somewhat of an enigmatic, fascinating figure because he never seemed to get a serious injury. He was blessed in some way.
Very much so. And that reputation carried over into his life after the war, where he continued to keep to himself. You know, it makes sense that he would do that because too many questions or getting too close to anybody could have opened the door to him being discovered, which could have robbed him of his pension. That's another thing that is a positive aspect of being in the military. You get paid even after your service, of which he did the full term, by the way.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So he moved back to a small community in Illinois where he had immigrated to originally and was like a pillar of the community. People, you know, didn't really know too much about him, but he was like regarded as a very good citizen and treated with respect, and no one invaded his privacy. And during this time, he had many odd jobs, including like he was like a lamplighter for the city. I think he was a custodian at a hospital, and he also worked for a lawmaker. He found himself working for Senator Ira Lash. And that is when things kind of started going downhill for Cashier, when the senator, the honorable senator, accidentally hit Cashier with his car and broke his leg, forcing him to be taken to hospital and examined.
Right. And at this time, you know, as we said, he was a respected, established member of the community. He wasn't like a Boo Radley type shut-in from Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. He was known, he was active, he wore his uniform all the time.
That's right.
And
buttoned up to his neck, apparently, mm-hmm. to hide the fact that he did not have an Adam's apple.
That's correct. And you can read an excellent source on this from IrishTimes.com. When Jenny Came Marching Home, An Irish Woman's Diary on Albert Cashier in the U.S. Civil War by Nora Ide McAuliffe. So let's fast forward. November 1910. The senator hits Cashier with his car. Albert, at this point, is 67 years old. His leg is broken, goes to the hospital, as you said, and the staff of the hospital learns the sex assignment. And they agree that they are not going to betray the trust. This is a good bunch of doctors and medical professionals.
Again, incredibly progressive and super helpful, and very lucky in this string of like lucky events that has led this person to have not been exposed for 67 years of their life. But
there's bad news.
Yeah, there's they can't all be good eggs because once he is treated, he doesn't really have any much money other than his pension. He can't really work anymore. So he's sent to a place called the Soldiers and Sailors Home in Quincy, Illinois, where he is going to convalesce. And
he stays there for a few years.
He stays there for a few years. In that amount of time, he starts to get the onset of that dementia that we mentioned at the top of the show, and that's when he's sent to, this is a horrible term, but this is what it was referred to at the time, a state hospital for the insane. And there, his sex assignment is discovered again, and they aren't so kind about it.
No, the Senator Lish intervened, and Lish, from what we can tell, is the person who actually disclosed the sex assignment of Albert Cashier and warned the staff of this state hospital to keep the information a secret. But these two male nurses forced Albert to wear a dress and then took the information public. And the media got a hold of it. And the story went national. And at this time, remember we mentioned the pension earlier, at this time, the Veterans Pension Board gets wind of this. And they, instead of recognizing the soldier's duty and the fact that they did the full term, right, of their enlistment, instead of recognizing that, the Veterans Pension Board begins to investigate Albert for fraud. And keep in mind at this point, Albert is 69, 70 years old and suffering from this cognitive decline.
They go on to say, they add insult to injury in saying that there's no way this old elderly person in their frail state could have possibly been the heroic soldier who fought in the war, and also because of obviously the fact that they are female. But again, really progressive thinking at this time. His compatriots, you know, from his army days come to his aid and back up his story and say, no. This was the guy.
They're like, that's my dude.
And we don't care. Or I don't know. It's not. No, I mean, obviously, they would have heard the stories. They would have had to come to his aid for a reason.
Yeah.
And so they had to have, like, not cared.
This was national news.
National news. They had to have, like, not held a grudge. Or you would think that, you know, maybe they would have felt betrayed or something like that or lied to. But instead, they seem to see through to the truth of the matter and come to his defense. And the board decided to continue paying out his pension, as they should have.
Yeah, they assented. Because think about this. Think about the time in which this debate is occurring. What are you going to do as the veteran board if other veterans come to you and say essentially you were insulting the entire concept of serving in the military? And you are not holding up your end of the bargain. And this is heartbreaking. So Albert's fellow soldiers vouch for him and raise enough of a stink and attention that the veteran board does continue these pension payments. But Albert is still lost in this place and declared insane. Albert fights the best way he can. He takes the skirts that he's forced to wear and he ties them up with safety pins so he can form pants out of them. But Albert trips one day, breaks a hip, and eventually dies on October 10th, 1915, age 71. I know this sounds like a downer, folks, but we promise you we do have a happy ending of sorts.
Yeah, there's definitely a really powerful legacy left behind. Let's also not forget that the conditions that he was exposed to were a direct result of a time before mental health reform, where, you know, the idea of being insane practically relegated you to, you know, forced confinement and very little actual treatment and, you know, sort of just being almost abandoned and left to rot. You know, there's all these stories we know about the conditions in quote unquote mental asylums, you know, insane asylums is what this would have been considered. And they were absolutely horrible and inhumane.
Here is the bittersweet and powerful ending. When Albert Cashier passes away, he is given a full military funeral. He is buried in uniform, the uniform he always dressed in, even after the war. There is a gravestone erected to him. The gravestone does not read Jenny Hodgers. The gravestone reads Albert D.J. Cashier. 60 years later, The headstone is changed such that both names are there, the original name and then Albert's name.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. You know, I don't know how he would feel about it.
Exactly. Because I'm wondering why they chose to do that. Was there some kind of outcry that like forced, I mean, that's just such an odd choice to me.
Yeah, as well. I don't know. Because we know that Albert definitely did not have a say in that, you know. But here's the thing. The town in Illinois, where Albert is buried, they remember him today. You can go to Sonneman, Illinois, and you will see U.S. and Irish flags flying side by side at the home of Albert D.J. Cashier.
Very modest one-bedroom home that you can, I believe, tour.
The mayor will also give you a tour. It makes me, I don't know, it's kind of heartwarming to think that you can go to this small town and you can call up the mayor and they'll say, okay, I'll take you over to the house. I'll even walk you to the grave. It's heartwarming to me that you can literally call up the mayor of the town.
Yeah.
And they'll take you on a tour. That's pretty neat.
It is pretty neat. And I have to be honest, I was unaware of this story, but clearly some people were, because there is, in fact, a Broadway musical or a Broadway-style musical about the life of Albert Cashier that came out in 2017 and it got pretty great reviews and played at the Stage 773 in Chicago. Haven't heard anything about a Broadway run, but I'd be very interested in seeing this. It's called The Civility of Albert Cashier by J. Paul Daratani, and the score is by Joe Stevens and Keaton Wooden. And here's a little blurb from one of the cast members by the name of Delia Kropp. Quote, in so many ways, Albert's story is a true American one, a soldier who served their country and wanted nothing more than personal liberty to live life as they wished to.
Which, when you put it that way, how much more American can you get? What else do you want? That's personal freedom, right? And even though the practice of the law doesn't adhere to the letter of the law near as often as I think we would all like, it is inspirational. It doesn't matter who you are. You should be inspired by this.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I,
yeah.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac, yeah. Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever been.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com.
As we mentioned earlier, Albert Cashier was not the only person in this situation. And there is an important distinction to make here. More than 250 Civil War soldiers were assigned female at birth. Most of those soldiers are assumed by historians today to have been cisgender women in disguise for the purpose of getting around army regulations.
Like Mulan.
Like Mulan. So some would fight to be close to their significant other or their spouse. Some were straight up trying to escape slavery.
Right.
Which, of course.
Who could blame them?
And some.
Well, that's sort of the point we made earlier, yeah, where it's like the conditions that would maybe cause someone to look at military service as a better alternative to the life they were leading before, those previous conditions had to be pretty rough. Slavery would certainly be one of them. Abject poverty, things like that. An abusive relationship or home situation, you know, would make one seek out any alternative. And the army was certainly one of those.
And while Albert Cashier was a trans man, a trans soldier fighting in the Civil War, this story doesn't stop here. Christine Jorgensen is actually the first American trans woman who is widely known for having a sex reassignment surgery. And this goes back a little bit farther, right, Noel?
Yeah, I mean, call the Cashier story a precedent, if you will, or just call it kind of a spiritual successor. But Jorgensen, who was in the Army in 1945, and she, during that time, she learned about possibility of getting sexual reassignment surgery, and she started to get that process underway in Denmark in 1951. And when she came back to the U.S. in the early 1950s, it became kind of a pretty hot-button story when the New York Daily News reported it with the headline, XGI Becomes Blonde Bombshell. She documented her life extensively. She became a huge figure in the trans community, early days of the trans community, and was, you know, made appearances on talk shows. She toured college campuses, talk about her transition and her life living as a trans woman. She became an actress, a nightclub performer, and she was very, very sharp, witted, and she passed away in 1989, and she referred to her impact on the sexual revolution as having given it a good swift kick in the pants to kind of kickstart it.
And there's already been an indie movie made about Jorgensen. And also, additionally, Ed Wood's Glenn or Glenda definitely tried to, let's say, take inspiration from Christine Jorgensen's story. But these stories are important to remember, and we also want to acknowledge that the struggle, the search for validation, recognition of your own identity, and the right to live as you wish is a fundamental part of being a human being. So thankfully, Albert Cashier, despite the social climate and discrimination of the time, was able to get the recognition he deserved. We still have a long way to go, and we have to wonder what future historians will say about these our modern days.
I don't know, man. Sure seems like we're living in a time where things like this are much more mainstream and much more accepted. And like my kid
has grown up being completely comfortable with the idea of trans people. She has several in her class, and she is just like a just it's basically the new normal. And I think that's an amazing place for us to be, given how far we've come.
Agreed. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We hope that you enjoyed this exploration of Albert's life, and we would like to hear from you. What are some other amazing and inspirational stories of individuals in times of conflict? Doesn't have to be restricted to the Civil War here in the United States. Let us know. We are all ears, or eyes rather, because we'll probably be reading what you send to us. You can email us directly. We are ridiculous@iheartradio.com. You can also find our Facebook page, Ridiculous Historians, where you can meet our favorite part of the show. The three of us are always talking about you off air, your fellow listeners.
Yeah, you can also check me and Ben out individually on Instagram. I've got an account under How Now Noel Brown, where you can just catch me doing, you know, the things I do day to day, which apparently includes getting kicked in the shins by little kids.
And until I get black bagged and disappeared for my various misadventures, you can find me at Ben Bolin on Instagram. Thanks so much to our super producer, Casey LaBouche-Pegram. Thanks to our research associates, Ryan Barish and Gabe Luzier.
Yeah, big thanks to Alex Williams, who composed our theme, Christopher Hasiotis, here in spirit, Jonathan Strickland, looming large in the world of quiz-related super villainy. And thanks to you, Ben, for being a friend and a confidant, down that road and back again, and all that.
Thanks, Noel.
See you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.